Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast. And I missed you. If you're an avid listener of the At Lexi podcast, you may have noticed there was a couple weeks I was gone. I was in New York and I had a great time. It was truly perfect, but I wasn't recording the podcast. I had figured that I would find a studio and I would make a routine. The time got ahead of me, and this is just such my system. I associate the podcast with this studio, and this is my routine. And now that I'm back home, I landed last night and woke up this morning, did a couple errands, came here, and now we're sitting. Why am I gonna get like giddy about this? It's because this is my favorite thing that I do in the whole world. The last episode went up on May 10th. It's May 30th. 20 whole days. How's it been? How have the last 20 days been for you guys? I'll tell you how mine have been. I landed in New York on, I think, the 7th, and I'd done a room swap, which has been a very exciting and intriguing idea to me for quite some time. I just wasn't sure if I was going to ever meet the right person that I trusted to do this with. A lot of people in their 20s are constantly subletting out their rooms, which is a great way to get a little cash if you're going to be out of town. However, my space is my space and it's sacred to me and I really don't want just anyone in it. But a friend of mine has been visiting my apartment in LA and she's really interested in being bi-coastal. And she gave me the offer, you know, if you ever want my room in New York and I'll take your room in Los Angeles, you let me know. And I said, how's May? And that's what we did. So for the last few weeks, I've been in New York. She's been in Los Angeles in my room. I was in Greenpoint, really close to Williamsburg. I don't know that area that well, or I didn't prior, because it very much is its own little neighborhood. There's just one train that goes through there. So if you want to get anywhere else, you either have to hope that it's on that train or you're going to have to transfer. So I never spent too much time there, but I adored it. Most people were my age. It was a very young crowd. And then, of course, if you know me, you know that I love to boulder. There's this incredible gym in Williamsburg that I think I was there maybe 2 days, maybe just one day. It wasn't my first day. I walked over to that gym and I signed up for a membership. It is the Equinox of climbing gyms. You have multiple levels. You're climbing downstairs and then they have a rooftop that overlooks the Manhattan skyline and you can climb. They have a cafe. They have these gorgeous outdoor saunas. They have a sitting area with a fireplace, a yoga studio, a spin studio. They do the aerial silks. Then there's a full-on gym with cardio machines and weights. There's a workspace downstairs as well that also has board games and things to use. And then across the street is another gym. It was so good. And it was such a nice walk away from my apartment. So I was going there most every day. And if you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen that I'll occasionally post my little calendar. I love data. I'm the daughter of two math teachers, the granddaughter of a statistician. You best believe that my little personality can lean type A, and I love keeping track of things. So I have a calendar that I make, and I give myself an X anytime I go out and exercise or if I get over 10,000 steps. My typical workouts in a month are maybe somewhere between 15 and 20. In May, the month is not over, 28. 28. There are many days this week where I was getting over 10,000 steps and going to the gym. I was not even intentionally on a fitness journey, but here we are. My step count, sorry, this is so boring to some of you, but it blew me away because you have to walk to the subway and then when you get off the subway, you have to walk to wherever you're going. And then if you and your friend are at a museum, you're walking. If you're shopping, you're walking. If you're going from one restaurant to another place, you're walking. And it's all these little mini walks, and then suddenly you look and you've walked 13,000 steps. My average step count was over 10,000. That was the average. So there were plenty of days that were in the 14s. We had a 20,000 day. It was almost 21,000. It was crazy because I wasn't trying to go that hard. So now I'm in this routine of being so active that I don't know how I'm going to be able to maintain it. But I'm in a great mood and it's probably from all these little endorphins I've been getting. So I was climbing. That was one of my favorite aspects of the neighborhood. I liked McCarran Park, spent a good bit of time there. My favorite park in New York, but maybe in the whole world, is Prospect Park. I think it's my favorite park that I've ever been to. It holds such a special place in my heart, and it wasn't near where I was staying, so I just figured I wouldn't go. So I was like, there's so many parks between me and Prospect. I don't need to go to Prospect. And then my friend and I ended up going to Prospect, and I am so glad that I did that. That was a heartwarming experience. I saw all my friends there, caught up with everybody. I did go to the Met, and I saw the Sleeping Beauties exhibit, which they way overcrowded that. There is one way in and one way out of that exhibit, and they are packing people in there like cans of sardines. It was a little miserable, to be perfectly honest. But then I had a little glamorous drink at the Carlisle after. I didn't do very much partying, which has been a whole nother concept that I want to explore, whether it's a little bit in this episode or gets an episode of its own. But ebbing and flowing of drinking and smoking and partying, there are times and chapters and seasons of my life where I'm really interested in drinking and it feels really fun. And when I drink, I have a great time. And then other times I drink and I'm not having fun. I feel a little sick. I'm a little tired. I'd rather be home. And then sometimes there's a season of my life where I'm really interested in smoking. The high that I'm getting from weed really hits and it feels so silly and fun and relaxing, giggling and uplifting. And then other times I smoke and I'm not about it. So once again, just if my body's rejecting it, if my mind's rejecting it, then I'm going to physically reject it as well. No need to smoke. Then there's seasons of my life where I'm doing both and seasons of my life where I'm not really doing either. I drank a little bit while I was there. I smoked a little bit while I was there. But I spent a majority of my time sober. And I've been wondering, now that I'm coming to my later 20s, how I exercise my inner wild nature, if not through substances. So as a child, my wild nature was just exposed through childlike energy, you know, playing on the playground, playing make-believe. Everyone is really in tune with their imagination and wants to be wild. And then in my adolescence, I started experimenting with substances or being more rebellious, and that could be how I would exercise that wild energy. And then it went into more partying as my 20s arrived. And now I'm curious how to exercise that really wild side of myself, if not through substances. And thankfully, I'm speaking to you without any addiction issues, because that makes everything more nuanced and your experience is going to be entirely different. I'm coming at it from the point of, these were the social situations throughout my life where it's been allowed, you know, the playground in childhood, in people's basements as a teenager, at parties, at clubs, whatever. Now, where? I'm not done being wild, but I'm not interested really in getting drunk right now. I'm not really interested in getting high right now. But where can I exercise this energy? And I think it's leaning more towards the spiritual realm, if I had to guess, which, oh, so, okay, I say this to you, but this is also coming out of the mouth of a girl who literally took a ride home from a stranger yesterday from the airport. So risks are still being taken, my friend. If you're a Patreon listener, I'm going to give you an extra 30 minutes onto this episode, and that's where I will include the story of how I rode home with a stranger. But you know, my intuition is so strong. I trust it immensely, and my gut said, this is fine. That's the short of it. But I am exploring, to round out this thought, how to have my wild nature live and be expressed, if not through partying. Much to think about. So back to New York, I was a fitness baddie, my God. Climbing. I also was seeing one of my dear friends, Jane, who is a coach and founder of Movement and Mindset. So she's a personal trainer. She does all these cool events. If you're in New York, she's having a field day, like a proper potato sack, relay race, egg on the spoon in your mouth. Really fun. I wish I was in New York for it. I would love to go. So please go on my behalf. But I went to her gym and was training a couple times. So good to see her. I told her, I was like, climbing hasn't done very much for my butt. Can we lift my gluteus medius, my gluteus maximus? Can we do something about this? 'Cause I was so afraid to tell her because her whole thing is about strength and it's not just getting an ideal body type. And she's like, no, I know that you're coming from a place of already being active and strong. And I'm like, thank you. I don't want you to think that I'm just coming to you to get a juicy ass, but I would like to get a juicy ass. And I'll say, I went 3 times. I was admiring my behind in the mirror yesterday, and she's looking tight and firm. She's definitely looking better. She's definitely not looking worse. So as being a fitness baddie, I also was on my reading game. I finally decided to finish Why Men Love Bitches. I started it a year ago, and I just had it. I hated it. I hated it because I was coming to this book with the perspective of I need to change myself in order to be with a man. And my internal alarms were blaring. Like, no, I'm not going to change myself for a man. If I have to change myself for a man, I would rather be with a woman or be alone. I'm not going to do that. And then I got a second wind and decided, let's give it a second go. And it's really a book about learning the language that men speak to women in, or how men communicate with women and how their understanding of it is. So really it felt like learning a language as opposed to being told to change myself. So that was one book that I read. And then I picked up Melissa Broder's Desert Valley. Kind of at random, I was going in to get a different book and they didn't have it. So I picked up Death Valley. I'd recognized the cover. I wanted to read The Pisces, which was, I believe, her first novel. But I don't know, felt inclined for Death Valley. And it's funny. I'd finished it a few days ago. If you enjoy Otessa Moshfegh, you'll definitely enjoy Melissa Broder. I cannot wait to read more by her. But I have to tell you what I'm reading next in a second, because I have to take a whole break from Melissa Broder to enter this new excursion that I'm going on. But let's stay on track. Desert Valley, funny one-liner after funny one-liner. I mean, I had my pen out underlining things that would make perfect tweets. And then I found out that she actually had a viral Twitter back in the day. It might still be viral now, but who is on Twitter after the Elon Muskification of it all? And it's funny because I feel that energy. Like, there's these little diamonds that are just perfect little bits. So I loved that. And then the storyline, it's about grief, which is a topic that I'm oh so familiar with and a topic that I, for better or for worse, enjoy. This book begins based in reality. We have a woman that is taking a solo trip to the desert to write her book. Back home, she has a husband whom she adores but is physically ill. She also has a father that's in a coma, critical condition in the hospital. So there's a lot of grief going on. But there's also a fever dream element to it because she starts going on hikes and they are talking rocks. There are talking bunnies. There is a magical cactus. And I liked that it felt grounded in reality. Then suddenly you were in a fever dream and it was super imaginative. So that was fun. I loved it and definitely want to read more. But I have to read this book next because I've been recommended it so many times by so many different people. And it's the ACOTAR series. And the first book is A Court of Thorns and Roses. Every friend from every circle has told me it is such a fun ride. It'll be so exciting to read because I often like to read slower, darker, heavier books for whatever reason. And I'm not reading these light, fun, silly ones. And this, I'm intrigued by. It's also a series. So if I get into it, I think it's how I'll spend my summer, and this seems like the perfect summer read. A lot of people have told me that the first book takes about 100 to 200 pages to really get into it because it's a lot of world building and character and relationship building. I'm like, guys, do you know the type of books that I've read in the past? I'm fine. I have the patience and attention span of a boomer. I'll be fine. So I'm doing that. Because I was so resistant. I'm a little bit of a snob when it comes to books. I'm like, Colleen Hoover would never, you know? I'm a bitch. And everyone responded, no, you'll like this, trust me. So I began it yesterday on the plane, and I'm excited for it. I'm also on a beauty journey right now. And that's not the perfect topic for a podcast. Podcasts are great for me letting you know where my head is at. Let's talk ideas. But beauty and these little techniques that I'm trying, I'm going to put on TikTok. I'm on a hair growth journey. Okay, I have taken steps. We have done hair Botox. I made a list. Where's my notebook? No. I didn't bring my notebook. Fine. Give me a moment. I need to gather. I need to write a list. I just took a minute to write a list from memory. I may have missed a couple of things, but on my hair growth journey, I've taken steps. Okay, we've only grown a few inches, but I'm trying to see my hair be the longest and strongest it's ever been. And I'm on the side of TikTok that is showing me how. So I'm going to take these TikTok tips, horrible alliteration, and see what's good. And I have to be cautious about TikTok information, as we all know, because BookTok, I was on there at one point, and my least favorite books of 2022 and 2021 were on BookTok. They were the BookTok recommendations. So for 2023, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go from my instinct and peer recommendations because I clearly don't align with most of BookTok. But I'm curious about hair talk. So I have gone ahead and done a hair Botox treatment. I'm also doing dustings over haircuts or trims. So it's even less than a trim, like really just getting the very dead ends off and nothing more. Scalp massages, scalp oil treatments pre-shower. Then I'm doing moisture post-shower with oils or a deep conditioner. Then I'm wearing protective hairstyles. One of my favorite hairstyles in the whole world is a tight, slick back ponytail. I haven't been doing that anymore because I was having some hair breakage and some hair loss exactly where I'm putting my ponytail. So 1 + 1 = 2. I know exactly where it was coming from. So I'm taking a break from that. And then I sleep in a braid with a bonnet on my head on silk pillowcases. Steps are being made. And unfortunately, results are going to take time. So I might be coming at you 2-3 years from now being like, yeah, that's right. Now I have hair to my hips. But right now my hair is still above my boob. I'd like it below, you know, mermaid hair by the end of summer would be the goal. But mermaid hair by the end of summer 2026, maybe that's what I want. That's what I'll take. I'm fine with slow and steady wins the race. I do not need instant gratification. I already have trouble with dopamine. I've done so much to train myself to not need instant results, and I'm happy with that. Slow and steady wins the race. You can see that in the rise of my internet presence. I've never had a huge spike where I'm mainstream and then a fall. It's been slow and steady. Oh, guys, I met so many of you in New York, and you couldn't have been better. I swear. I'm gonna say something for a second, and then I'll go back to slow and steady winning the race, because I have probably 2 or 3 more examples of that you have to hear, obviously. But I have other friends that have followers. I have other friends that have subscribers, and their subscribers are not as cool. Their subscribers are not as smart. Their subscribers are not as kind, and their subscribers are not as fun. I have seen some, I'm of course making judgments, but I definitely like y'all the best, for sure. I was walking to my train, and this girl was like, I love your podcast, and we exchanged a quick hug, and I went on my merry way. There was another girl that was like, oh, I love your YouTube video. She was on a bike. We grabbed hands. I was like, thank you. And then I had another girl on a train that came and sat by me, and we were chatting, and I think she was a scientist. She said she worked in a lab. I'm like, what the fuck? Not someone working in a research lab watching who I am. I remember when I had a poetry picnic back in Central Park. This was years ago, and a good portion of y'all went to Columbia, and I'm like, oh, the smart girls like me. Oh, I love that. Biggest compliment of all. Truly adore. But for slow and steady, when it comes to fitness goals, when it comes to I don't know, learning anything, getting any result, it's most sustainable if you go slow. And if you try to go fast, you're going to get it fast, but you're going to lose it fast. And then you're just going to have to keep doing it again and again and again. Whereas if you just go slowly, it's going to be more sustainable and long lasting. Guys, let's try to have long, beautiful, strong hair in our 40s. I don't need to look my best at 28. I'm happy looking better at 29 than even better at 30. Let's take our time. There are so many chapters to have, and I don't need to rush. Also, if I rush it all and try to have all my highs now, then I'm going to be living in the past, being like, damn, those were the good old days. Nothing will ever match those days. No, I'm not interested in that. Then I'd be bored and I wouldn't want to be here anymore. So I need to take my time and explore my interests as they come, give them time to marinate, and then move on to another interest. It doesn't all need to be happening now. And I couldn't recommend that mentality enough. And guys, you should think about things that you want to do in your 50s, in your 60s. Guys, I want to be an actor in my 60s and 70s. I want to play grandma. I don't need to play young superhero hottie. Of course, if a casting agent found me and said, my God, Lexi Lombard, you would be perfect for this role, I'd consider. But I don't feel like pursuing that until later in life. I also would be so happy being a model in my later age, you know, doing anti-aging creams, having my gray hair showing all that. I'm happy to do that. I remember a friend's dad, I think it was his 50s, he said he picked up a different passion every decade, and 50s were about mountain biking. And that's so cool that you get to a point where you've lived multiple decades and you can see your life in, wow, I can give myself 10 years to explore this, and I can give myself 10 more years to explore something else. It makes life seem manageable. Doesn't even feel like the right word. There's a bliss to that when I think of that. I'm like, oh, who knows all the things that I'll explore. For example, 2 years ago, if you told me last year, I haven't even been rock climbing for a year, that would be my hobby, I'd be like, oh, cool, huh. Wouldn't have picked that out. Would have thought I would have been a Pilates girl. Not like a great example, but you know. Oh, back on my beauty regime that I'm taking up, I learned, this is pseudoscience potentially, I have not researched this whatsoever. I saw one screenshot of it somewhere, that if you have a handful of pumpkin seeds every day, your boobs can grow. And the person was like, my boobs grew a cup size in 2 months. And you know what? I started that, and my boobs, they have grown a little bit. I'm not even kidding. I tried to play it off. I made a TikTok. I'm like, I don't see a difference. I kind of see a little difference, a little bit. If you love the Pick My Fit series, I've decided to experiment a bit, and the last two episodes have been in archivals. So someone that loans their clothes out to celebrities for red carpet events. They have such a wide collection, also a variety of sizes and just really cool experimental things. So I recorded one in New York and then also one in Los Angeles. We had Lido Archive and then Desert Stars Vintage. I have to work on what I want for season two of Pick My Fit. I'm trying to think of the update that I want. I also never thought I would say this, but I am interested in having a video element to this podcast. I was so stubborn on that for so long, but now I'm curious. I actually am. This New York trip of mine felt a bit like a vacation because now that I'm back home, I feel refreshed and rejuvenated, and I'm thinking about what I want next. It felt like a good break, a proper break, giving me some time to think, and now I'm back in the headspace of, okay, what's next? What do we want to do next? What refinement do we want to have? One of which is a video element to the podcast. I'm also entertaining the concept of, I'd love to have a second show. I would love to have a second podcast that either had a co-host or I had guests on it. This show, I love how it is and I don't want to change it. I could add the video element, but I like the diary style, coming of age, very here and now, current state of the union style to this show. It's comfortable. I want it to be a comfort podcast. I want it to be a leisure podcast. I want you to take little nuggets of wisdom here and there, but also if it's just a little giggle and I'm keeping you company on a walk or while you clean your room, that's what I want. But I think it would be fun to have a second show, you know, an in addition to, an and, not an or. And then for season two of Pick My Fit, I either want to get a nicer camera or get a microphone, or I've entertained the concept of putting it in a studio, but I like the idea of a closet. It would be fabulous if I could have my closet professionally done, and that would probably make the show even better because the guests would be able to pick out pieces a lot more easily. Much to think about. I also helped my friend Chris film his street interviews while I was in the city, and it's so fun helping other content creators because everyone has their own different system, their own different setup, their own different show. I love having shows. I love having series. I will say there's so many street interviewers now. I'm like, Chris, you're really the OG. Him and like Kasim G. But now like I was walking down the street the other day and I got poached to do a street interview with a dentist. I was like, God, are the dentists not making enough? They have to start having a social media presence? What is this? But that's not the point. The point is that it was fun to help out a friend. Also, his camera and his equipment are so nice. I'm like, damn, shoddy should upgrade. Me being shoddy. I did a little bit of shopping, nothing crazy. I had a shopping trip on Mother's Day and my mom was with me. You cannot tell me otherwise. I know it. I made a TikTok about this, about Mother's Day without a mom. And my mom was a shopper, guys. That was her sport of choice. And a friend of mine told me about this vintage shop. So I went and everything I grabbed was fitting me like a glove. And I spent so little money on so many amazing things. I got a pair of heels that I have on my feet right now. This amazing wide low-rise belt. A gown. Think Princess Diana. Think Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. That style, high neck, 80s, 90s gown. And then a blazer for $60. Are you kidding me? A gown. I would have paid $60 for the gown. I would have paid $60 for the shoes and the blazer. Incredible. So incredible. But I had to be cautious because my suitcase was already a little overweight on the way here. So, yeah. I didn't see much family while I was on the East Coast. I saw my cousin, who was like a sister to me. It was her birthday recently, and on her birthday post, my friend was calling me out for it because I posted to my best friend and my biggest hater, and she's like, that is Morgan for you. Morgan Lombard keeps me grounded. Morgan Lombard is the yin to my yang. That girl, for all intents and purposes, is my sister, and she came and took the train up. She lives in a small town in Pennsylvania. I love big cities. She's like, no. She came into my apartment and was like, really? I was like, you're such a bitch. Like, excuse me, this is great. But I think to a normal person, knowing a rent price and then seeing the New York space, it's like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you really don't. Because logically, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially if you have zero pull or emotional tie to the city. So she was like, okay, yeah. But we walked around and we had a great day. I went to the bookstore with her and that's when I got Desert Valley. But I love her with my whole heart and it was so nice to see her. But overall, fantastic few weeks. Hope you missed me, but not too much that you were sad without the episodes. But I hope you're happy that I'm back. It's good to be back, right? And I'm going to get this episode up for you quick. I'm hoping to get it up. Oh, do we have a visitor? Is someone walking into the studio? Because my producer has a dog named Soup, who I love. Also, we watched a dog for a day in New York. This 15-year-old dog named Richard. Which, Richard is the name for a 15-year-old dog. He reminded me of my grandpa. And I sent him a photo to Morgan. I was like, this is kind of like Papa. And she's like, why? I was like, because he's grumpy, smart, and blind. And that was my grandpa. Grumpy, smart, and blind. Anyway, it was a good trip. And I'm going to get into your questions that I asked. and let's see what they are. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Earlier this summer, I made an episode about financial freedom, and I think investing and saving are so incredibly important. I really believe that financial freedom is the only freedom, especially as a female. There is nothing like getting to be in charge of your finances. And investing can feel intimidating, especially when people don't know where to start. Many people think you need a ton of money to invest. Investing often gets put off because it doesn't seem urgent, or you're busy and you have little time to research and manage investments. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing in your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. I want to thank Acorns for sponsoring today's episode. If you are interested in saving and investing and making a positive impact on your finances, head to acorns.com/Lexi. That's acorns.com/Lexi. Or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Lexi. I was invited to a wedding at the Plaza. I could not be more excited. The color scheme is black and gold, so I can get a long black dress, and I know that I will wear that again. But if maybe you're given a color scheme like desert neutrals or blue florals, you might not be wearing them as often, so it feels a little bit tougher on the wallet to be like, okay, here's $275 for a dress, and I don't know if I'm ever gonna wear it again. Birdie Gray is about to be your new favorite. They believe that everyone in a wedding should be able to look and feel great without breaking the bank. And weddings are expensive, not just if you're the bride or a bridesmaid, but even a guest. So that's why all of their bridesmaid dresses start at just $99. You can pick a color, and then they have every silhouette. You can do off the shoulder. You can do a little tank top. You can do, just take a look. They also have a stunning collection of budget-friendly little white dresses, all under $150. They have something for all bridal events, from engagement photos to bachelorette, even the honeymoon. Best of all, Birdie Gray offers free fabric color swatches to nail the perfect bridesmaid dress look for the crew. And just for my listeners, the first 5 swatches are free. Visit www.birdiegray.com now to get your first 5 swatches free with code LEXI. That's BIRDYGREY.com. And find your perfect palette.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Starting off with a question that I get all the time, Paris wants to know for advice about feeling lost in your early 20s. Your early 20s, in my humble opinion, is about exploration. It's about getting to learn who you are as an individual, as a young adult, because really this is your first decade outside of your home. For most people, they spend the first 18 plus years of their life with their family, and 20s is when you start taking those steps to be independent and figuring out what you think and what you like in a more concrete way than your adolescence is. Adolescence is a lot of ideas about who you think you are and what you think you like. And then once you're in your 20s, you actually get to put your money where your mouth is and put these ideas into concrete action, whether it's moving to a certain city or studying something in school or choosing to not go to school or choosing to take a break before school, whatever that path looks like for you. I don't know if you guys know this, but I took 3 years off before going to school. I wasn't even sure after the second or third year if I was even going to go to school anymore. And everyone's path is so different. So I didn't go to school until I was, 21. So for your 20s, and I'm still in my 20s, so I'm an insider looking out, but I can at least look back on the last 8 years of my 20s, and 20 and 21 were awkward. I definitely had sort of a second puberty, it felt like. My style was loud because I was so confused. I was having fun, though. That is not even a negotiation. I was having probably the most fun, but I was looking a little questionable. I look back, like, those were really big hoops and those were really long nails. And is that a dollar sign on your middle finger? Good God. But I was having fun. So it's about experimenting. It's about exploring. And there's a lot of pressure to make decisions about who you want to be, but it doesn't need to be who you want to be for the rest of your life. It just needs to be who you want to be this year, who you want to be this month. The changes come so quickly and there's a lot of confusion, and you don't need to put this pressure on yourself to make the end-all decision of what your life is going to come to. Because as I said, referencing my friend's dad who has a different hobby, a different passion that he takes up every decade, you could spend your 20s in one industry and your 30s in a complete different one. You don't need to make decisions for your whole life. You just need to make decisions for your current self. So give yourself a break. You're doing the best you can. You're probably stressing yourself out and putting way too much pressure on yourself. That is not needed. You also are the oldest you've ever been, so you think of yourself as a real adult. But 30-year-olds that are thinking about a 22-year-old, they're like, that's a baby. That's a child. A 24-year-old, oh, you're 24. That's so cute. Whereas when you're 23, 24, you're like, oh my God, I have to get my shit together. I'm like already 24 years old. My mom had two babies at this point. It's like, life is different now, okay? Childhood is extending for a lot of people. And, you know, do not compare yourself to a generation that is 30, 40 years older than you. It's different. So take a deep breath. Figure out what's going to make you happy right now. And this is the hardest part. What's going to make you happy, not what's going to make those around you happy. That's one part of adulthood. Free will just gets more free. You get to make these decisions for yourself. You can say, I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad. I know you expected me to do this, but I feel really called to do this. And I know it's not what you want, but I can hope that you accept this of me. And then once you have your financial freedom, I mean, no one can tell you shit because you're like, are you paying for this life? Didn't think so. Hope that helps. Maybe Lucy asked if I would tell my younger self anything given the opportunity. I would tell her to wash her makeup off at night. It's causing her acne that she doesn't need to have and wouldn't have otherwise. I would tell her that maybe Freely the Banana Girl is not the idol you think she is. And also, if you're going to get off a medication, do it with a doctor. I'm sorry, Dr. Google makes mistakes sometimes. So tell her those things. We'll stop there for now. What sitcom do you think you would most easily be added into as yourself? I don't watch sitcoms, so I'm trying to... I think it'd be fun to be in that 70s show, maybe. Or would I want to be in Sex and the City or Entourage or something? I'll have to give that sitcom question more thought. I honestly don't think I'm the right person to ask because I don't watch that many sitcoms. I also don't have a comfort show, really. I will dive into a series and I will watch it through and I will hardly ever revisit it. I revisit Gossip Girl sometimes, but that's about it. I really just pick something, watch it, move on. So I think there's a better person to ask. Eric Booker wants to know, what has been your go-to summer drink? I told you I haven't been drinking very much, so I've been getting iced teas. I'm not even getting an afternoon coffee. I'm getting an afternoon iced tea. I'll normally do half green, half herbal, half... If there's a hibiscus with a green, I'll ask if I can do half and half, or I'll mix it with a black tea. Honestly, I'll take whatever they have. I love iced tea. Isabel wants to know if I'm a frog or a rat. I'm a frog. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce your username, but you asked for my dream pick my fit guest. I would love to have Julia Fox on it. That would be so fun! Or Chloe Sauvignier, Charlie XCX, the stylist from Sex and the City. Really, really, really hot take, but Kanye. Yasmin wants to know one sustainable habit you have. Great question, Yasmin. I was going to say recycle, but isn't China not taking our recycling anymore? Isn't recycling kind of a fucking joke at this point? I have my reusable water in front of me. I was going to say I'm not a huge consumer, but my PR has to counteract that. My carbon footprint has to be a disaster. For detergent, right now I use the strips. There's definitely some room to be more sustainable in my lifestyle. Definitely. Yasmin also wants to know if I believe in reincarnation. What animal would you reincarnate into? I don't know which animal I'd reincarnate into, but I do believe in past lives. I definitely was a man in a past life. I feel that. But I also feel like there was another life where I was a Viking of sorts, like something where I was fighting in a war. And then in this life, I'm just a little cutie sweetheart, treading lightly, trying to be as gentle as possible. But what would I reincarnate into? Ugh, like a dog in a rich family that just gave me the royal treatment and I was so special and so adored. Anytime I'm with a lovely family, I look at their dog and think, what did you do in a past life to get here? Because this is it. This is it. Tori Ridge wants to know, how am I really? I feel really good, but I'll say there was a minute there about a week and a half ago where the blues were hitting me and I was getting a little worried that I was falling into a depression spell. And I haven't had a spell of depression in quite some time, so it caught me off guard a bit. And I'm going to go into it in like the other 30 minutes of what I did. This is a little bit more personal and what I needed. But I will say that I went to this moon ceremony with a group of women and I left that feeling considerably better. And I think I just needed a little outlet to share and to have a circle of women that were also sharing. And we chanted and sang this 11-minute song. Two sayings over and over and over again. They weren't English. And I could feel myself as the song went on, the crooks of my mouth starting to lift up and me developing a smile, and I started swaying during the song. So I've been listening to that song over and over again. It's obviously not as powerful just singing it myself, but giving myself 11 minutes to just repeat these mantras in the form of song has been really healing. It's even more healing when you have a group of people that all believe in it, because then suddenly the energy just gets more powerful and faster, and it's really cool. So that was one way that I helped with the blues. I left and we were all speaking about how we felt, which I think there's so much merit in expressing how you feel in terms of the bottom line. A lot of us, when we share what we're going through, give every dirty detail. We start from the beginning. We give all the context, all the nuances. Whereas in this circle, two of my friends were with me, but everyone else was a stranger. There was eight of us. And we all had to go around at the beginning. Give us a little heads up. Like, where's your head right now? One girl said, silly. One girl said, excited. Someone else said, I'm in transition. Someone said, I feel like there's a block that needs unblocking. Someone else said, I feel like I'm giving my attention to the wrong person. And all of those things I can relate to. But I didn't need to know the details of who is this person? Why are you giving them your attention? I can relate to that. Giving our attention to someone who maybe doesn't deserve it. No context required. I hear you. I get it. And that's a really fun way of sharing. I don't know if you've ever caught up with a friend you haven't seen in a long time, or maybe you're opening yourself up to a new friend and you're sharing a story from your past that they weren't there for. It's therapeutic hearing the way that you describe it to them, because you can't give all the context because they don't know the person. They don't know the situation. And I feel like it's cathartic and interesting to witness how you describe it. That was a little mental note that I made. Oh, then I'm getting some questions about Palestine, if I support the genocide. Absolutely not. I mean, what the fuck? I was staying with a girl from Lebanon. I was rooming with her and I can't even imagine how scary it is. Also, the fact that Palestine is not even recognized on the map as a country, it's so evident that these power forces are trying to allow this erasure to happen right in front of our eyes. And then it's also nuanced because Hollywood is incredibly Jewish. And then there's the nuance of the birthright, where people are going over to Israel and thinking, oh, how fun, like, this is my country, I'm learning about my country. And when in reality, it's like suddenly getting money to my heart goes out to all the lost lives, the children, the women, the men in Gaza, in Rafah, people thinking that they were in a safe spot. And then I cannot even begin to understand the pain and the fear that they must be living with at every single moment. I have a fundraiser on my profile on Instagram if you feel like donating. It's also scary knowing how long this has been going on for. Obviously, we're having a heightened moment, but it's so sad to know that my parents remember this, that my grandparents remember this, that this has been happening. Also, someone had said that a lot of people on the internet are saying, why aren't you saying eyes on Israel? Like, there's people that are suffering in Israel as well. And someone said that's like saying all lives matter during Black Lives Matter. And I couldn't agree more. It's like, yeah, there, for sure, there's people suffering everywhere. Like, I can't imagine being like, well, all eyes on California. I'm like, okay, it's not about you right now. Quite frankly, there are some other people that need eyes on them right now. Do you hear me? Yeah. What question do I answer after that? How do I transition? Sky wants to know who's my favorite controversial celeb, artist, or influencer. I mean, I don't... Because I brought up Kanye before, I mean, he is so creative. Like, if there's someone that has had creative impact in numerous industries, it's him. I mean, he elevated the style of the Kardashians. He is the blueprint for a lot of brands. He is working on architecture. He's working on a car right now. I mean, he's definitely been a visual spearhead for a lot of modern design. But politically, you know, yeah, that's a pretty controversial celeb. Aurora Music wants to know how to slay this summer. Okay, I'm going to be reading a fun book, so my head is in a fun, lighthearted, exciting, bubbly space. I'm going to be outside as much as possible. I'm talking neighborhood walks, I'm talking beach trips, I'm talking tanning on the deck, I'm talking sidewalk chalk on the street, happy hour drinks on rooftops, at tables outside of the restaurant. I'm also going to be eating my pumpkin seeds, doing my hair growth routine. I'm laughing at it because it's so involved and I don't actually have proof whether or not it's working, but I'd like to believe because this is the most effort I've ever put into my hair. So I'm like, let's see it. Also, I've been asking my friends, like the one that I was rooming with, who's from Lebanon, and then another one of my friends who's Indian. It's like, all right, give me the hair tips because y'all have the best hair. Like, what are we doing? And she was giving me this oil treatment, but I'm like, my hair is pretty fine. So much to think about. But that's also how I'm going to slay this summer. I have a spray tan right now. That is helping. That definitely elevated the mood. And just hosting the homies, you know? Having barbecues, having people over, going to people's houses, late nights, going to the pool, going swimming. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's how I'm going to slay this summer. So that's our episode. If you're on Patreon, I'm going to start our next 30 minutes of stories now. But if you are a regular listener, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, give it a little 5-star review. It really helps the show. Look forward to more content. Thank you so much for listening. I'm happy to be back. Take care. XOXO, Lexi.
We When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.